Judson. Thank you for being here this morning. If you will turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to continue our study talking about spiritual gifts. This is our seventh study on this. We're just down to verse 3 and 4. And it's going to be a long time, long study, because once we get to verse 12, we start talking about the church. And the thinking in this is that God gives us diversity as Christians. We're not all one person. We are different. Some of us are like eyes in the body. Some of us are like arms and fingers. We have different capacities, we have different abilities, we have different educations, we have different this and different that. But when everything comes down to the brass bottoms of it all, the Lord gives us what he wants us to have individually. There is no perfect Christian on the earth. No one that is a Christian, no one that is human totally understands and totally is 100% correct on everything. Why does God do what he does? I cannot answer. There are so many things that God does that we cannot answer. Why did God ever love us to start with? We're sinners. Not a one of us deserved to be saved. But God did love some of us. He loved a remnant, didn't he? God did. Before the foundation of the world, elected a remnant to choose to save. And they elected others to be pastors, others to be missionaries, others to be deacons, others to be treasurers, others to be clerks, others to be song leaders. We trust God to set it all in place, don't we? Why do we trust God to set it all in place? Because God sets it in place. It amazes me at how people sometimes get this idea and get this feeling about them that we are accomplishing something. Folks, we are only accomplishing what God's grace, mercy, and love allows us to accomplish. We walk around every day possessing the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit is our communication source to God. Even when we pray to our Father, it goes through the Holy Spirit. Amen. But somehow people get this idea that they're accomplishing something. I will accomplish as God is merciful to me. Christians and church members and others in this world do not need to give pastors and preachers and missionaries and all these people too much credit. Amen. As Paul said, the great words that we quote so many times, I am what I am by God's grace. Nothing more, nothing less. When you see young preachers growing, it's the Holy Spirit causing them, giving them the ability to grow. Now, where does this eventually lead us? Leads us to the church. Verse 12 down talks about the church. Who builds the church? The pastor, the church itself, or God? Well, God does. He said every member in it as he chooses. He causes every member to be that member he wants them to be. This is the reason we have diversity in our understanding. We don't need to be too harsh on people that disagree with us, especially when they're Sovereign Grace landmark people to start with. I know preachers that run around and they make livings. And they're not living, but they make their pride on wondering, is this church really established correctly? You know what, folks? If it looks like a church, smells like a church, acts like a church, don't be running around doubting it. It's like cattle. Brother M.L. Mosier one time got in an argument with E.G. Cook in Alabama at a Bible conference over whether one church was a church or not. Brother Mosier told E.G. Cook, said, if that cow of mine gets in someone else's pasture, it's got my brand on it, I know it's mine. If a church has God's brand on it, chances are great it's God's. Don't run around doubting it. People sometimes irritate me because they spend too much time worrying about others when we need to worry about ourselves. In verse 1, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. That's the first thing Paul told us here. What are spiritual gifts? Well, we covered that. A spiritual gift is a gift given to you by the Holy Spirit. Your salvation is a spiritual gift. Your faith is a spiritual gift. Your understanding is a spiritual gift. Your abilities as ministers, as church people, as song leaders, as clerks, as treasurers, is all spiritual gifts. We ought never give ourselves credit for anything. Amen. And Paul said, concerning these things, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles. Gentiles is not the outside of Israel population that he's talking about. The Gentiles, if you look at the word up here, it's talking about lost people. It's talking about heathens. Heathens. In the old times, the Bible times, heathens was called Gentiles. Carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Holy Spirit called Jesus accursed. Now, what exactly does this word accursed mean? Well, the Greek dictionary, Strong's dictionary, or concordance, calls it excommunication. It's basically calling Jesus useless. Why do we exclude a member from the Lord's church? They become useless to the Lord's church because they're acting up. They're acting like Gentiles. They're acting like heathen. They're acting like the world. And they're a reflection on the Lord's church. Amen. And the Lord said to get the leaven out. Now, that don't mean we just boot them right out. We work with them. I'm not going to get into all that. They become useless to the church. And this is what people make Jesus out to be. Useless. If you believe in works for salvation, you make Jesus useless. If you believe in baptism or church membership for salvation, you render Jesus useless. If you believe in decision, choices, and turning over new leaves and all these other Armenian today things, you make Jesus useless. Because Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He's my Savior. He's very useful to me. I would never in my lifetime ever make Jesus useless. I would never criticize the Lord Jesus Christ. I would never take anything from him. Without him, I would be nothing but a lost man going to hell. With him, I'm a child of the living God. On my way to heaven, just a passing through this whole world. And every day I get closer and closer to heaven. He goes on to verse 3, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Don't miss that. Nobody's saved that has not been visited by the Holy Spirit. John 8:14 tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. How many? As many. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, 100% of those visited by the Holy Spirit are saved. Amen. Jesus said, the Father, give me this remnant, and I have lost none. Not one. We got down to our fourth point, which was verse 3 we just read. To our sixth sub-point. And I'm going to go ahead and start there. A lot of times I skip down to the next point. But I don't want to. Because this is important. All of this. Every inch of this message. Is very important. Especially in our day and time. For our sixth sub-point here. To point 4. Is that man has rejected the truth. That God saves sinners. And sinners cannot save themselves. Told you, Romans 3. Sinners cannot save themselves. They make no decisions. They make no choices. They don't turn over new leaves. They don't pray prayers. No one touches them. Man has nothing at all to do with salvation except to preach the gospel, which is powerless without the Holy Spirit, the power behind it. Amen. See, but it's God's word. Exactly. And God's word is just these letters on pages, unless the Spirit of God is behind it. Salvation is useless unless the Holy Spirit is behind it. One thing God does for us in this life that is totally universal and exactly the same is that He saves us by grace and mercy and by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Spirit. No one is saved differently. Because God said He chose to use the gospel to save sinners. God don't have to use anything to save anybody. God has the power to save you if He chooses, any way He chooses. Because you were chosen before the foundation of the world to be His child. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for your salvation 2,000 years plus ago at Calvary. Your sins were paid for at Calvary. God chose to use the gospel. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that causes the gospel to be real to you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that causes you to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if someone is saved and they've never experienced that power, some force inside of them causing them to do these things. And it could be mild or it could be firm. I've seen the Holy Spirit bring grown men to their knees in tears to save them. I remember Brother Hammond telling me years ago, and I think it was in Huntsville, Alabama. He told me the guy's name. I'm not going to say it because I don't remember his last name. I do remember his first name. Said that guy told him his wife came to church and he wore an old white t-shirt most time he came with his belly hanging over. Alabama boy. I ain't got no use for you preacher. I come for my wife. If she wants me to come, I'm coming. And he came for a long time, just like that. And one day, Brother Hammond preaching, he got done, he gave an invitation, and that big old boy stepped right out, walked down the aisle, and said, God, just take me right back there at that pew right back there. Said, that message was real to me. He said, I felt a power upon me that pushed me right out in that aisle and made me walk it. I've heard that same story in different ways over and over during my ministry. The Holy Spirit's even diverse in the way he saves people. He don't save us all the same, does he? Some people go through treacherous times, long times, to be saved, and some people are just saved just like that. But one thing the Holy Spirit does, he saves us all. And why does he do it? Because we can't save ourselves. We have not the ability in flesh to save ourselves. Why not, preacher? Because, oh, they're going to hate this one. We are totally depraved. Lord told us many times of our lost state. First three verses or four verses of Ephesians 2 tells us our lost state. When the Lord talks about Gentiles here, he's not talking about the Gentile race, he's talking about the human nature of people. Romans chapter 3, we want to look at 9 through 20. I'm not going to read all of them, I don't have time this morning, but look at verse 10, where the Lord said, there's none righteous, no, not one. How many are righteous? Outside of Christ, how many people are righteous? Don't you have to have something in you that causes you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, if in the flesh we are sinners, and if in the flesh we drink sin like water, and in the flesh if there's nothing good in us, if there's no righteousness at all in us, what's going to tell us that we need to be saved? Think about this. If some politicians had their ways, it'd be legal to walk into a bank and rob it. If some people had their ways, it'd be legal for them to walk into a bank and rob it. And if they do this for a living, and they don't never know it to be wrong, why would they ever stop? That's the way it is with lost sinners. It's their way of life. It's their nature. They're never going to change themselves. They're never going to make a decision for Christ. They don't think they need one. They're never going to pray a prayer to be saved. They don't think they need to be saved. You talk to a lot of lost people, and they'll tell you, I'm a good person. I pay my taxes. I go to church. I pay my tithe. And the Pope told me you don't have to know God to be saved. Why would they ever want to change? They think they're good people, don't they? You know, I've met a lot of these good people, and they're not so good. Look at verse 11. There's none that understand. How many? None that understand. There is none that seeketh after God. Well, hold a minute. If none of them understand, and none of them is ever going to seek after God, how many are ever going to be saved? Still coming up with a big old zero, ain't we? Let's move on down to verse 12. They are all gone out of their way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. How many are they doing good? We're still at that big old zero, aren't we? I mean, it's easy to do the math here. Because you can just put a zero right down at the end of each one of these verses. None. Not one. Please look at that scripture real close. They are all gone out of their way. They are together, become unprofitable. And there's none that does good, no, not one. I'm a good person. You know, Grandpa George over there, he really is a good person. He hasn't been saved yet, but he is a good person. He's not. He stinks like a dirty rat. He's as ugly, as ugly, as ugly gets. Only you see good in him. Only you think he's good. What does God see him as? Right here is what God sees in people. Remember before the flood? God said he found a righteous man. God allowed his family to be on the ship, on the ark. God found Noah as a righteous man. God found Noah. Was Noah perfect? No. Noah wasn't perfect. But he was a righteous man. Because God said he was. What about all the other thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, millions, tens of millions, billions, whatever they were at the time? What about all of them people out there? God did not find a one of them that was righteous. God said he found a righteous man in Noah. And then God said he killed every other one of them that wasn't on the ark, which was Noah's family. 8 souls. He killed them all. Drowned them. And what was the thing God said about these people? He said, it repented me that I even made man. And then here people are, they're talking about the good and sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. And these people might not even be Christians. You know what? There is no good in me. The only good in me is Jesus Christ. The only good thing I ever do in this life is what the Holy Spirit does through me. Verse 18. There's no fear of God before their eyes. None. Verse 19, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Don't lose that. Remember that. When you look at this world and you look at the people in it, when you look at politicians, when you look at news media, when you look at Armenian churches, when you look at Armenian preachers, when you look at the other denominations, you remember these words: all the world may become guilty before me. Let's go to John 6. John chapter 6. In verse 44. No man come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. What did he just say? He just said that no man come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And Jesus said, I will raise him up in the last days. Nobody. Nobody comes to Jesus on their own. Timothy was talking to us. He had to withdraw himself from the Bible class they have because it's Arminianism. And he found himself arguing with all of them about how a person is saved. I printed off several sermons, notes, and sent to him. Several sermons, notes, several pages long, almost all of them about salvation. Folks, people that preach about decisions and choices and turn over new leaves are liars. I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's what they are. They're just dog-faced liars, put it the way Joe Biden might put it. Dog-faced liars. The only decision is God's. The only choice is God's. The only way you're going to turn over a new leaf is if God calls you to do it. We are not on our own to do what we want. Because if we do what we want and we read Romans chapter 3, what do we find? We cannot do it. And not only can we not do it, we will not do it because it's against our nature. Verse 65. And he saith, therefore I say unto you that no man come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Why the Father? Why the Father? Isn't the Holy Spirit the one that brings us to Christ? Well, you have to separate the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do you not, to understand the workings of them? And all three work in our salvation, don't they? The Father chose us for the beginning of the world. The Son came to this world in form of sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, to die on that cross to save us. And the Holy Spirit comes to our heart, causing us to cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that beautiful? I use that scripture the other day. I love that scripture. And we do cry out to Father, don't we? But here he talks about, you know why? The Father sent the Holy Spirit into a heart, causing him to quicken them and causing them to believe. Give the Father credit. You're saved today. You're saved this morning. If you're not, I hope you are saved by the election of the Father and the blood of Jesus and the workings of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is a product of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. To deny this is to accurse God. That's right. I said accurse God. When you render God useless, you render God to be nothing in your life. And if God is not everything in your life, you're lost. They not only render Jesus useless, accursed, but they render God accursed, the Father. He's not sovereign. He didn't choose us. He don't have anything to do with our salvation. It's strictly our choice. God can't change your will. Folks, if God can't change our will, we're lost. Because no human being will ever on their own have the will to change what they are. Called total depravity. Now, go back to our text, and we're going to start the fifth point. We didn't get there this morning, but I'm going to start it to give you a taste of what we'll have tonight after our short hopefully short business meeting. And that's our fifth point. Verse 4 says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice back up in verse 3, where he says, but by the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, he says, but by the Spirit. Notice in verse 5, he says, but the same Lord. We have the same Spirit, we have the same Lord, we have the same God. See, God works in mysterious ways. We certainly know that, don't we? And his mysterious ways cause him to work in diverse ways. God has a reason to cause me to do this, another preacher to do that, another preacher to do that, another preacher to do this. Our church do this, another church does that, another church does that. See, it's like a system put together. The whole world of Christianity, the churches, is like a system God has organized. It's like the universe God has organized. Well, the church system is too. And God has built the church system in diverse ways. You'll find this church is doing these things. That church over there is doing something else. That church over there does it differently. This church over here does it differently. And if you look at missionaries, you'll find out all these missionaries do things differently too. Now there are diversities of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit. Even though things are different, even though they're diversities. So let us remember that these gifts are of the Holy Spirit. Now we learn that they are diversitily distributed. God does not work the same in all Christians, nor does he work the same in all churches. I don't know why he does it. I don't know why he allows one person to believe this, that's truth, and this person to believe differently. Because if it's not truth, it's not partial truth. If it's not truth at all, then it's not truth. If I didn't confuse you with that, if it's not truth, it's not truth. Partial truth is not truth. Like truth is not truth. And I look into history and I see great teachers and preachers, great ministers, great authors, great this, great that, and for some reason, they all disagree on something. You know, I searched for commentaries on this chapter right here. You know, most of them skip it. They don't want to talk about it. I think most of them don't want to talk about it because it talks about the church, verse 12 down, and it talks about a local New Testament church. It does not talk about a universal visible church. And that's what they believed. Why didn't Charles have his Spurgeon believe in the universal visible church? Can you understand that? I can't understand that. I know a lot of people give him credit for being a landmark. He's not. Charles Haddon Spurgeon did not believe in the local New Testament church as the Church of Jesus Christ. People say all they want to do, they're trying to change that, what he was, into something he wasn't. But he is a great preacher, isn't he? He's a great writer. Brother Don Fortner, I put some of his articles. I've even used some of his parts of his notes online. I've used many of his quotes and sayings. Don't believe in the local New Testament church. He's used the universal visible church, man. Man, they're so great, so wonderful, so deep in the Word of God. Why don't they believe in the church? Am I wrong? So I have to, as my little limited mind will let me, I need to ask the Lord, am I wrong? You say, well, you never asked the Lord. I have. I ask the Lord all the time if I'm wrong. Because one thing I do not want to be is wrong. I know I am on some things, but it's not my fault. I can't understand anything that the Holy Spirit does not teach me to be true. If He teaches me, I believe it. That's called the diversity. A lot of people deny that. That's their business. I'll tell you what God's talking about here. He's talking about diversity. So I study. I study. I study hard. And you read verse 12 down to the end of chapter. And then you read what Jesus did when His earthly ministry was here. And you tell me what Jesus started wasn't a church. And I'll read that Bible. He had officers. What did Jesus need officers for? He had a church. Judas was a treasurer, wasn't he? He had a church. Why did He tell them not to do anything until the Holy Spirit empowered them? Who was He talking to? He was talking to the church. When He called them to the foot of the mountain, and then they all went up in the mountain, and He talked to the Beatitudes, who was He talking to? He was talking to the church. In Matthew 16, He talked about the church being something that was going to grow into a super organization. Church has officers, it has deacons, it has pastors. Universal Visible Church can't handle these things, can they? Really? Who's the pastor of the Universal Visible Church? I'm waiting. Pope? I sure hate for him to be my pastor. It's like I'm going out of that church. Joel Osteen? Another clown. No, I don't want any of these people being my pastor. They don't know what they're talking about. See the difference between a local church and a church that God has started and God builds? It's a local New Testament church, folks. And the reason some people don't believe it, because God never made it real to them. Why? I don't know. I wish I did. I wished I did, but I do not know. Other issues I have, and I'll be done in a minute. Give me another couple minutes. You will wait. Other things I disagree with, even some of these members. I have actually investigated these things. I have actually put my mind behind them and read books of opposition to what I believe. Some things I changed on. Some things I did not. It's not like I didn't pay attention to them. Not like I don't care. It's like I'm not unmovable. I just don't see it, folks. If I don't see it, I'm not going to believe it to please you. And you're not going to believe it to please me. So we consider ourselves diverse, and we move on about our business, don't we? All right, we'll get into that verse 4 tonight. I wanted to verse 4, part 5, I think it is. Where we're at, my head kind of explodes all this stuff. I'm one of these people, if I load myself down with too much information, it's like a car engine being revved up real high for a long time. It starts coming apart and exploding. There's not a lot there to hold it all together. But anyway, thank you for your attention. And we're going to get Justin to come. Justin will lead us in a song.